What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's broadcast is brought to you by CryptoShare.app. CryptoShare.app. A major problem in the U.S. is a lot of foundational Black Americans. They have high fee financial services and loan discrimination and a broken credit system. We have a major solution called CryptoShare, bang with a Q. They are a peer-to-peer decentralized financial system that's run by blockchain technology. So check them out, ladies and gentlemen. CryptoBang at CryptoShare.app. CryptoShare.app, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let everybody know that we're live right now. We're doing our thing as we always do. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We got a lot to talk about on today's broadcast. So hit that thumbs up button, first of all. Hit that like button. And I need y'all to hit that subscribe button. And I need you to share the link to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to take that quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back. Right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG, that stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
What's up, family? Check out debudmarketing.com. Do you know the CARES Act administered by the IRS currently has tax credits, that means cash, available for businesses that were hurt by the pandemic during 2020 and 21? If you had 5 W-2 employees and were shut down, you probably qualify. Check out debudmarketing.com and fill out a 5-minute questionnaire. That's debudmarketing.com. What's going on, family? Are you a diabetic and you reside in Atlanta? Do you have unexpired test strips? Well, if you do, you can make fast cash right now. Call or text Latoya of Martha and Betty Medical Commodities at 504-478-7148. That's 504-478-7148, or email her at care@marthaandbetty.com. She helps place test strips to those who can't afford them. So check them out right now. Yo, shop at oxywellness.com to experience the natural benefits of what CBD can do for you, your health, and your well-being. Their CBD brand called Oxygen has a THC-friendly product line that addresses several ailments like pain, inflammation, stress, and much more. You can also get in on the distribution side of the game by getting involved in launching your own CBD franchise. So get with them right now at OxyWellness.com. That's OxyWellness.com.
Tired of being embarrassed by the odors left behind after pooping? I've got the solution. Poopoo Vanish. That's right, Poopoo Vanish. Poopoo Vanish will vanquish those embarrassing odors left behind after taking one of those messy poops. Just spray in your toilet bowl after pooping and bam, odor's gone. Leave the bathroom with a smile knowing the person that comes in after you won't smell the bomb you just dropped. Go to www.zacurebody.net to secure your bottle of Poopoo Vanish now.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximum strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the godfather of the game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganeering. Sloganeering kills people.
Hey yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn stumbler.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, family? We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, as we chop it up on this lovely weekend. I got to thank everybody for getting gifts for the new baby coming. Shout out to everybody who got something on the gift registry. We have a few more items. If you go down to my profile below, you can get a couple of more gifts for baby Quoquo Nisha on Tariq and Alexis baby registry if you're listening to me live right now. And I got to thank the family. Much respect to all of you, and the baby thanks you as well. We really, really appreciate the baby gifts, ladies and gentlemen. Man, there's so much we got to talk about. By the way, the new movie's coming along very good. The movie about the Maroons, that's going to be coming in a few months, hopefully. We're doing good time on the editing right now. It's taking some time because this is going to be a four-hour miniseries, ladies and gentlemen. The new documentary about the Maroons is going to be on our new streaming service. We're going to have a new streaming service. I'm going to announce that in a couple of weeks, what the name of the service is going to be. You're going to be able to stream all of our movies, and the new documentary film will be featured on that. It is a four-hour miniseries, and what I like about the streaming service is that we don't have to cut a lot of the good stuff out. It's going to be just hot fire, just nonstop hot fire without any parameters, without any time constraints. And I can't wait for you to see the new joint. So you guys stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, you can go to buckbreakingmovie.com and hiddencolorsfilm.com to get all the other joints, or go to officialfba.com to get some other things like books and FBA merchandise and all of that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get right into it. Now hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get right into it about what we need to talk about. Today we're talking about dirty displacement tactics. We're talking about dirty displacement tactics. Now, out here in LA, we're focusing out here in LA. When we see a lot of things go on, a lot of black people are homeless. A lot of black people don't have the jobs that we need. Foundational black Americans, collectively, we're being undermined. It is imperative that we, as foundational black Americans, focus on what we need to get. We have to get tangibles. And we have to stop going along with the undermining of our living process. Just our daily lives are being undermined by the white supremacist powers that be. And the problem is we go along with it because you have the Democrats running out here pretending to be friends, talking about black and brown this, minority coalition. We have to understand that politics is warfare without bloodshed. We have to stop letting them engage in warfare tactics with us under the guise of kumbaya. whenever you talk about black issues, we get the kumbaya speech. Other groups, when you talk about their issues, it's all about what their group is going to get. Family, do y'all know Biden has given billions of more dollars to Ukrainians? I'm not talking about the billions from a few weeks ago. There has been more money allocated to the Ukrainians out here in California, where I am. They're allocating so much money to undocumented people and some of the white Native Americans who are not really Native Americans. They just push something through that gives them free education. They don't have to pay no school tuition, so they can get free education, while our Foundation of Black American Children, they get educational debt. They go to school and they get debt all the way up until they're 50 years old. And again, I'm not going to be advocating for that debt cancellation for everybody, because that's another con game that the Democrats want to use. We want to do debt cancellation for everybody, and that includes black people. No, we're going to need specific proactive tangibles in the form of reparations. And I want people to understand out here in California. See, California, they set precedence out here for the rest of the country. And I want y'all to understand some of the dirty tactics that's happening out here in California right now. Because they test it out here and then it spreads around the country. And the displacement tactics that they use out here. See, we have to understand as black people, the dominant society, they're constantly at war with us. We go along thinking, okay, we're just invisible Negroes. Don't nobody think about us. No, they think about us all the time. These folks have all types of think tanks that they sit up in and come up with ways to crap on us. I want y'all to understand that. They come up with ways to make sure that we are on our asses. And we have to be cognizant of this stuff. Now, as you know, we're trying to get the museum out here, and we faced a lot of difficulties and challenges. We're still going to make it happen. But I want y'all to understand the difficulties and the challenges that we're facing and some of the tactics that's being used against all black people out here, especially when you try to get into the business sector, when you try to own something out here. California real estate is very valuable. And it's going to go up even more in the next few years. We have the Olympics is coming out here. These areas are being gentrified left and right. So the real estate is going to boom out here big time. So when we try to own the property here, they get real funny style about black people owning it. And not just the business people, but just black people living in certain areas. There was an article that came out this week, family, and I want to share this article with you. Came out in the Bloomberg. All right. This came out in the Bloomberg, Bloomberg.com. I want y'all to peep this. This is very heavy. It gives you an idea of what we're dealing with out here. This came out this week on the 27th. What's today? Came out was 3 days ago, 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. An entire neighborhood is being flipped by a Los Angeles developer, Shaul Kuba. Now, this guy, this is a brother right here. He's an African immigrant, but he owns a liquor store, and he's being targeted, by the way. So they're targeting the black immigrants. You're not getting away with the targeting either. They're targeting you too. But let me show you all the guy right here. This is the guy who's doing a lot of the gentrifying. A white Middle Easterner / Israeli. I don't know what he is exactly. Shaul Kuba. They said he's an Israeli, but his family, they're Arab. So a white Middle Easterner. Okay. So this guy is running a billion-dollar firm out here in Los Angeles. And what they're trying to do, Shaul Kuba of the powerful real estate firm CIM is remaking scrappy West Adams according to his very particular vision. Some people just don't fit the picture. Okay? So now what this guy is doing, him working with the police, working with other developers and bought and paid for city council members, boy, they're getting black folks up out of these areas. Now, family, Just a few days ago, me and my real estate people, we were looking at property on West Adams. There's a lot of distressed buildings out there that's for sale, and we were looking for some of those buildings. We were looking at some of those buildings on West Adams the other day, and they're giving us all types of runarounds. Right now, I'm talking about right now. They're giving us the runaround now on properties on West Adams. Again, they're doing the same thing in Leimert Park. They're giving a lot of black people the runaround when we want to buy the businesses or buy the buildings. So what they're doing, family, what they're doing, there's a tactic that they're doing right now. There's something that they have that they're putting on black people in California, Los Angeles in particular, called nuisance abatement injunctions. Now, what that is basically an I'm white and I say so policy. So if your area, if your home or your business is considered a nuisance, and that's arbitrary, and you're not doing anything about the nuisance, meaning abating the nuisance, then we're going to put an injunction on you. All right. So they have something called nuisance abatement injunctions. So let me show y'all how this works. Now, this one brother, he owned a liquor store out here. He still owns it. He owns a liquor store, Brother Sharif, the African immigrant brother. Now, in this article right here, it says, in 2007, Cuba summoned Abdul Jamal Sharif, who owns a liquor store half a block from the Chevron station. He called him to a meeting on Wilshire Boulevard. He offered Sharif $2.6 million for his store because they want to tear the store down and build new buildings. And that's about 60% more than Sharif paid for the business back in 2005 and 2015. Well, Sharif told Cuba that he need to think about it. All right. The brother don't want to sell his business. He's like, hey, I work hard for it. You know, this is my joint. I'm here. So I want to keep my business. Now, a few weeks after the first meeting, Cuba called Sharif in again to close the deal. He said he promised Sharif he could continue to operate Holiday Liquor for another year or two until CIM tore it down. Sharif said he wasn't ready to sell. That's when everything blew up, he says. Cuba, that's the white Israeli Middle Easterner, exploded and called him a piece of crap. And he said CIM was just trying to help him because nobody wanted him on West Adams Boulevard anymore. So the white Israeli Arab guy cussed the brother out because he didn't want to sell. All right. Now, peep this. Now, 8 months after the meeting, because the brother didn't want to sell, all of a sudden, he got a complaint from the LA office. The city attorney accused him in a civil complaint of allowing Holiday Liquor to become an anchor point for the West Boulevard Crip Gang on West Adams. The complaint cited three shootings and other crimes in the vicinity in the previous 2 years and described Holiday Liquor as, quote, a threat. The prosecutors asked the judge to grant an injunction compelling Sharif to abate the public nuisance. So family, they're running this like the mafia right now. The Los Angeles, man, the people running this city is running this joint like a criminal enterprise. If you don't take their offers that they can't refuse, they'll sit up and just put some bogus injunction on you. So now because there's gangs around the neighborhood, they're going to blame this brother for not doing anything about the so-called gang activity. That's the same thing they were doing to Nipsey Hussle, guys. Nipsey Hussle wasn't the only one. Nipsey wasn't the only one, ladies and gentlemen. That's the same thing they were doing to Nipsey. They were going up there, shaking down Nipsey, dragging them out, making them line up. This is when it was Sloss and Tease, even before it became the Marathon store. But Nipsey stayed. He didn't let them punk him out, and they had to take him out. But this is what they're doing, guys. They're sitting up here saying that you are a public nuisance because of gang activity. Now, people are pointing out there's the Chevron station and the Asian nail shops and the Asian beauty supply stores and the Arab liquor stores. They're not doing it to them. they're not doing it to the Arab and Asian-owned liquor stores, and there's a bunch of so-called gang activity there. They're not putting them under the nuisance injunctions. Okay? This is how scandalous is getting out here in Los Angeles. Hold on. Right here, they say the Chevron station and other liquor stores a block away, both with extensive crime problems of their own, face no restrictions. This order would kill business, Sharif said. He said Cuba used allies in the city council. They sicked them on him. It was complete harassment to make me give up and sell the property. With their racist and bullying and intimidating ways of doing it, that option is gone. So yeah, they're just bullying people to sell now. It's getting crazy out here. And there was another brother, and this isn't just him, another black man, a 74-year-old disabled veteran who used to live on the second floor. CIM paid him $9,000 to move. They said if I didn't take it, they'd evict me. Now, Mr. Rose now splits his weeks sleeping in his car and at a single-room occupancy hotel. That money was gone in no time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we see so many homeless black people out here. You have black people being pushed out of their homes because they're trying to get this real estate, family. You know, out here in South Central LA, they done pushed a lot of black folks out to Riverside. They done pushed a lot of black folks out to Palmdale, Lancaster, Ontario, Monrovia, all of these places. But the black people who said, hey, my house is here, my house is paid for, I want to stay here in the house that I've been staying in for 50 years. These are the tactics they're using to get them out of there. This is why we were trying so hard to keep things going in the Leimert Park area. That's the last really quote unquote black district in Los Angeles. And boy, you see the dirty tactics and techniques that they're using in these areas now. Let me read some more of this article, some other parts of it. Now, Sharif hired a lawyer to challenge the city's nuisance abatement injunction. He has his detractors in the neighborhood. Several signed a petition circulated by the police requesting conditions be placed on holiday liquor. One woman filed a court affidavit saying she routinely sees loiterers near the store selling and using drugs. At the same time, Sharif is known on his stretch of West Adams for providing free sodas, snacks to the local churches, and periodically his credit card to a frantic mom trying to bail out her kid from community lockup. So this brother, even though he's not FBI, he's a cool brother. He's in the community. He's rocking with the folks. And again, he tries to help folks. He's been welcome in the neighborhood. And again, they're trying to target him to get him up out of here after he turned down the money to move. Again, this is the same Nipsey playbook. This is the same thing with Nipsey, man. Nipsey's doing stuff for the community. They can't buy him out. He wants to anchor his business and stay there. He wouldn't let them intimidate him or bully him out of there. Then all of a sudden, some police informant runs up and kills him in broad daylight. Some damn police informants kill him in broad daylight. Police and these land developers are all working together with each other, man. That's why we see so many homeless black people out here in California, man. They're being put out here with these dirty ass injunctions that they're using. And I'm telling somebody, say, what about some of the people in the NAACP? Man, some of these elected official Negroes out here, one of these black city council dudes, I forgot his name, but they arrested him for fraud not too long ago. My LA people, y'all remember who I'm talking about? One of these LA city council dudes, they got him for fraud. But for the family, they're using very dirty tactics out here. Now, right here, LA has been using nuisance abatement tactics on suspected landlords and tenants for 15 years. The suits give city prosecutors important tactical advantages over criminal procedures. You see, among them, judges can impose an injunction relief without a jury trial and without court-appointed defense lawyers. And civil cases require a lower burden of proof than criminal trials do. Police affidavits alleging that a person is a gang member or that a landlord tolerates gang activity, that's all that's needed. So All it takes for them to put an injunction on you is for somebody to just say, I'm white and I say so. Hey, I think there's gang activity. I see a bunch of niggas hanging around and I think they're gang members. I want to go file a criminal complaint. Don't let nobody tell you about other folks coming over here, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps. And we get sabotaged like this all the time. They're actively sabotaging black people in the city of Los Angeles like this. And they're using this injunction because you can skip over a criminal trial. See, we need our black lawyers, the ACLU and all of these people who are supposed to be legal firms. They need to be filing something against this. This should be unconstitutional, but this is what they do. They use the I'm white and I say so laws against us. Now, there was a sister out here. Now, right here in poor neighborhoods like West Adams, civil injunctions act as a cudgel to force out black and brown, meaning black, I don't do the black and brown, property owners, clearing a path for new owners and gentrification. In a survey, they saw that they analyzed 121 nuisance abatement injunctions across LA issued from 2010 to 2018 and found out that 80% targeted black neighborhoods near downtown and South LA, which includes West Adams. In almost all the cases, the injunctions ordered property surveillance for an average about 5 years, monitored at will by the police. Almost half the properties were sold after the injunctions were issued. So basically, they sit up here and use gang activity, which the police help promote. They sit their informants down there. This is why, this is why we see a lot of this gang stuff happen that's real over the top. The police allow a lot of this stuff to happen. The other day, I was talking about some of these YouTube and internet dudes that we see, these so-called phony gang members running around LA, running to different people's neighborhoods, filming themselves in the middle of the night or early in the morning when nobody's out there. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna spit on your neighborhood. Yeah, this is so-and-so from such and such block. These are fake gangbangers. These ain't real gangbangers. These are dudes that the police put out there. They run around waving guns all on Instagram and TikTok. And you wonder why these people never get arrested. Why do internet trolls get to run around shouting out gang this, gang that, waving guns all over the place, and you never get arrested? That's the thing that lets you know the police are in on it. The police know who these people are, and these people are all on Instagram, and some of y'all know, I see some of y'all are naming them in the thing. They do all that until somebody in the streets catch their ass, like that, what's that dude, the Takers? Y'all know who I'm talking about, the guy who got popped up out there in Lakewood. Yeah, they do that until some real certifieds roll up on them. But the fact that these random dudes that don't nobody know, they ain't really a part of no gang, but they run out here claiming this gang, this one dude that y'all naming out here, this dude then claimed about 4 or 5 different gangs. No gang claims this dude, but they got this fool running around social media, running around different neighborhoods, flashing guns, shooting his gun at people, and this Negro has not been arrested. Yeah, Block Boy, that's the one who got killed out there in Lakewood. That's another one who was suspected of being some kind of informant. They had this dude running around people's neighborhoods, flashing guns and disrespecting neighborhoods, and then somebody caught him slipping out there in Lakewood and lit him up. And there's a new dude running around here doing the same thing, and this dude has not been arrested by police. See, these things just don't happen at random. They have these fools running around here, running around these neighborhoods acting a fool, and then what happens is they'll get that footage and say, hey, look, this guy right here is all on social media running around the businesses here flashing a gun, so we're going to put an injunction on the business because of this guy right here running around with a gun. You see? We need to put an injunction on your business. Y'all better understand the dirty tactics out here. But look, let me read the rest of this article here. That's what happened to Maddie Sampson. Black woman named Maddie Sampson, in a case not related to CIM. The 78-year-old widow lived in her home on West 52nd Street. That's a few blocks down from Leimert Park, by the way. That's a few blocks down from Leimert Park. She lived in her West 52nd Street for 49 years when she was slapped with a nuisance abatement suit in 2015. Police alleged that Sampson failed to present drug dealing in her home, which they claim was a known gang hangout because of the activities of her adult son who lived there. So instead of arresting the son, if you thought the son was dealing drugs, why don't you just arrest the son? But instead of doing that, they said he was a drug dealer, and instead of arresting him, they put a nuisance abatement on his mama's home. After Ms. Sampson failed to show up in court because of her poor health, the poor woman is in a wheelchair, a judge granted the city's requested injunction, forcing Sampson and her son to vacate and board up the property for 1 year. The mother and son were fined $162,000 without any opportunity to contest the order. Sampson, who used the wheelchair, moved into her car on the streets. These dirty bastards. A black, elderly black woman in a wheelchair had to move into her damn car because they put a bogus injunction on her talking about gang activity in her area, in her house. 2 months later, a city employee drove her to the courthouse to file for bankruptcy protection. In 2017, she sold her home in a court-ordered liquidation for $335,000, and the city seized $239,000 of the proceeds to cover fines and expenses. So not only did they evict this woman, gentrify her out the area, basically stole her house, and then stole the money from the sale of her house. Family, these are some dirty, dirty bastards. This is why we see so many homeless black people out here, man. This is going on out here like crazy. This is why they're doing this stuff to gentrify people out of here. People can't afford any kind of injunction or fine. So we got to understand political warfare. While they're doing this to us, they're flooding immigrants over here and giving them all of the paper. They're taking our little money, making us liquidate our homes, killing our property values, stealing our properties, and then giving the money to a bunch of undocumented immigrants and Ukrainian immigrants and Hispanic immigrants. See, I don't go for that black and brown. Please stop going for the black and brown. In that article, they kept using the term black and brown. Don't fall for that. Hispanics come over here and they get the red carpet treatment. We don't. I don't want to hear no black and brown. There is no black and brown. I want black folks to understand this. It's just us. And we got to stop falling for that black and brown, because what happens is when we hear that black and brown, we think and we slack up thinking that we got some allies who's going to help us. No, we don't. We have to do all the hard work ourselves. And they're gentrifying these areas like crazy. They want to move all the black people all the way out here to some of these rural areas way off in the boonies, way off in the desert, because the property value is about to go sky high out here in the central part of Los Angeles. They are putting people on the streets out here. Family, there's a reason why we're going through so much trying to get this museum, family. We're going in the door with cash in hand. Literally, man, we're showing them. We got bank statements. We're walking in some of these deals with literally trying to do cash deals. We're like, hey, we don't even have to go to a bank. We can transfer the money as soon as we sign the documents and do the inspection. We can get this popping right now. And they're still giving us the runaround. See, there are no black-owned businesses, really. On that Crenshaw area, you have black leased businesses. See, what they like to do, they like to lease you the property. They'll give you a good deal on leasing the property, but they don't want us owning it. See, they know the power is owning. See, that's what we're doing. I'm not about to lease anything. I'm going to buy the land and the building. See, that's where the real money is. See, that's why Nipsey was a threat. Nipsey wasn't just trying to lease that area. Nipsey became a threat when they were trying to buy that property over there on Crenshaw and Slauson, which they ultimately did. And the minute he bought it, he gets killed in broad daylight. See, they don't mind leasing it to you because the white supremacists get to control the land. And also, when they want to gentrify you out, all they have to do is raise the rent up. That's what they're doing out here, especially in Inglewood. Y'all remember a couple of years ago when they were building that stadium and all the business owners out there in Inglewood and even the residents, they start getting these sky high rent increases. They start jacking everybody's rent up out there, moving everybody out. They're like, hey, guess what, guys? We're going to jack your rent up. And even if you have like a lease with a salary cap or some type of rent control, let me tell you another tactic that they do that I've learned out here. What they do, if you have a lease and there's only so much where how they can raise your rent, what they'll do is say, okay, well, I just sold the lease. I sold the building, so I don't own it no more. So whatever the new landlord is going to do, that's on him. And the new landlord comes in and say, I'm going to raise your rent three times the amount you were paying last time. And then the last landlord is like, well, hey, it's not in my hands. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. A lot of these people who own this land out here in Inglewood and South Central LA, they are family, man. These people sell the businesses to each other, to other family members. I learned that recently. All of these people are related to each other. So they'll say they sold it to somebody, but they sold it to their damn cousin under some trust. But then when you start looking at the trust, okay, y'all got the same last name. My real estate people were pointing that out. When we were trying to buy the stuff on Crenshaw, they were pointing to this person and that person and that person and this person. Then we start digging and we found out it was all the same family owning this stuff, and they got it under different trust names. So that's one of the con games they run on you too. They're families who own this stuff, and they just grant it back out to each other just in a circular fashion, just back and forth, back and forth. It's a real cold game out here, man. It's a cold game out here. You dig? So this is why we got to be cognizant, man, when it comes to the political game. Family, damn all of that kumbaya talk. All of that, let's get together and hold hands and sing and eat black-eyed peas and catfish nuggets. Damn that, family. We got to get rigid about us getting tangibles out here, man. All of this scared Negro talk ain't going to cut it, man. We got to get these folks to break bread. They got to give us land grants. They got to give us checks. They got to get us protective status, man. We can't operate like this when these people doing all these dirty tactics behind the scenes all around the country, especially in LA and New York. It's real out here, man. And family, let's get off that thing about, well, the black and brown, man, we got to look out for brown people. No, immigration is a problem. We got to look at all of these things as problems. Immigration is a problem. I don't want them evicting black people from their homes because of some random gang activity that they don't really have anything to do with. They evict the black folks. They're not evicting no damn Asians. And the Asian brothels are all around the neighborhood. You want to know where the gang members get the guns and the dope? You get that from the damn Asians, Middle Easterns, the Russians, and all the other people. That's where you're getting the dope and the guns and all the other stuff from. The fentanyl, you're getting it from them, but they don't ever get no injunctions. But they're throwing the injunctions at all the few little black people who's trying to still run their businesses. Every time a black person out here tries to run a business, either they get some kind of weird injunction or some random shows up and shoots them in broad damn daylight. You understand? So family, some of these immigrant classes, they come in here. Don't think that they come in here on some, oh, I'm just an innocent, poor immigrant. I'm just trying to do good for my family. No. These people come over here and get lockstep in line with white supremacy. I want us to get off that whole thing of the poor family, the downtrodden family who just wants to come over and make a better life. No, that would be cool if y'all weren't practicing anti-black racism. They can't wait to get around other people in the dominant society and practice their anti-black racism against us. I'm not co-signing any of it, and they're not going to help us. They only hurt us. For example, there's a tweet by this woman right here. Sarah Gonzalez, this is a Mexican-American tether who comes over here, clicks up with the right white wingers. she's clicked in with the alt-right and she made this tweet. This is performative racism. They get out here and try to get brownie points from the white supremacists talking about black-on-black crime is a greater problem than white supremacy. Ma'am, you come from a place that's flooded with Mexican drug cartels. Your whole society back in your homeland is crime-ridden. How dare you bring your ass over here talking about some black-on-black crime? And the crime was so damn prevalent and pervasive in your homeland, your family had to flee. This is why we don't cape for none of these people. We don't cape for none of these people. I'm tired of us having to cape for people. But family, we gotta watch words. We gotta watch all of the tactics and techniques that people are using against us. It is real out here. And they'll use gang activity to try to criminalize all of us. They try to do the one big nigga tactic. If there's crime around us, we ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, how come you haven't abated the crime? The crime is around your building. How come you haven't done anything about it? Because I don't know them niggas. Well, if you don't do anything about the crime that you don't have anything to do with, we're going to shut your business down. This is nothing but I'm white and I say so. This is I'm white and I say so on steroids. Now, fam, we also got to understand something too. When we hear certain words, we got to watch out for these words. When we hear certain words, we got to watch out for them. I've been hearing the word black nationalist pop up a lot. The word black nationalist has been popping up a lot. When I did, I was on Twitter Live, Twitter Space the other day, and Richard Spencer called up. And Richard Spencer said something very interesting. He's like, yeah, I'm a white nationalist, but you're a black nationalist, right? He said something to that effect. And I said, no, I'm not a black nationalist. No, not in any sense of the word. I'm not a black nationalist. And I found it very interesting. He said that, black nationalist. And I've been seeing that word pop up recently. I've been seeing that word pop up very, very recently. And I want y'all to see something on Google. When you look at certain articles, the word black nationalist keep coming up. See, this is like a buzzword they're trying to throw out here now. See, they're trying to make black nationalist comparative to white supremacy now. Because they can't say black supremacy, because black supremacy is a contradiction of terms, but they can say black nationalist. Now look at the word black nationalist popping up in the mainstream media. Rolling Stone, this was in the last couple of weeks, talking about that dude who did the so-called shooting up there in New York, which many people are questioning. They said he was spouting black nationalist ideas. All right. Black nationalists. And also there's an article about Scam Master J. But here's another article. Hold on. Let me show this in a minute. Hold on. Right here. This is Scam Master J. And y'all know he's an op. All right. This is Scam Master J. They were calling him a black nationalist. All right. Talking about his trial has been delayed. Black nationalists. Jam Master J. All right. And we know this guy's an op. We know this guy is an op big time. So they were calling him a damn black nationalist. So that word black nationalist keeps popping up. What's this? Here's another article. This came out 11 hours ago. They're talking about Reality Raps, the legacy of hip hop in the LA riots. And let me see, they said something about Sister Soulja. Hold on 1 second. I want to see that term. Hold on. All right, right here. This is the term Black Nationalist Political Program. Okay. Black Nationalist Political Program. So they're throwing the word black nationalist around in this article. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Sister Soldier's Black Nationalist Oratory. All right, so they're calling Sister Soldier Black Nationalist. She took her nationalist oratory to the stage, merging nationalist rhetoric. We keep seeing this word, Black Nationalist. All right, yeah, they're calling her a Black Nationalist. Very interesting. And when we do our Twitter spaces, you have some of these clearly troll ops hopping into the Twitter spaces calling themselves Black Nationalist and deliberately using crazy and inflammatory language in our Twitter spaces. They come among us calling themselves Black Nationalists all in their profiles, and they're deliberately talking extremely dumb. Yeah, we should kill all the black trans people. Just saying real stupid nonsense. These are ops doing that. See, we got to watch out when we see certain words or certain terms. This is coming from a centralized location. And they put their ops out there to do a lot of the dirty work for them. So we got to watch out. We got to watch the words. When people are saying these crazy words, we got to keep our eyes open. And see, people come around us, and when we start pointing out certain things, they're like, oh, no, no, just focus on the white supremacists. No, we're going to focus on everybody. Oh, don't focus on the immigrants. Oh, they still under the same thumb of white supremacy, too. No, we got to focus on the white supremacists. No, we're going to focus on everybody. No, we're going to focus on everybody. We're going to focus on the white supremacists, but we're going to focus on the white supremacist minions as well. We're going to focus on the people who are minions of white supremacy. Oh, we're not going to take our eyes off of you. They're real good at doing that with immigrants. Hey, let's not point at the immigrants. Listen, immigrants and black people are under the same threat. No, no, no. I want to hear that. Because we're the only ones fighting that threat. You're trying to co-opt it and become a part of it. And we're going to call you out too. But the real people in power, those are the white supremacists. They're the real ones we got to look at. That's the real problem. We got to focus on that. No, that's a con game. We focus on that and the tactics they use. And if they use tethers as tactics against us, we're going to focus on you too. See, we got to watch that con game. Don't look at me. Look at the white supremacists that hired me. No, I'm going to look at you too. Yes, I'm going to look at you too. I'm going to focus on you too. I'm going to focus on the problem, and I'm going to focus on the symptom of the problem. You're going to get called out too. See, that's like a rabid pit bull. A pit bull is trying to bite you. That's foaming at the mouth. And then somebody says, hey, man, don't harm the pit bull. He just have rabies. He has rabies. So we just have to focus on a cure for rabies. Okay, we'll do that later, but I got to do something about this rabid dog that's trying to bite me in the ass right now. All right, we'll deal with rabies, but at this moment, there's a rabid dog on my ass, and I got to deal with that rabid dog. Now, once we deal with this rabid dog, then we're going to go to the rabies and deal with the rabies as an overall solution to alleviating rabid dogs. You see? We can't play games with this. And see, what we got to understand, family, we as foundational Black Americans, we are on our own. We are on our own. We got to do all the work ourselves, and that's okay. We don't have any allies. I don't want y'all to think that y'all laying up with these people, interracial sex, doesn't make you an ally with these people. That's something that Black people have to understand. You laying up with these people having interracial sex, that's not going to stop them from practicing white supremacy against you. I saw an interview with, Kim Kardashian's ex-husband, Damon Thomas. He's a well-known producer. And he called Kim out for doing something that I've seen Kim Kardashian do. And I really don't like when Kim Kardashian does this. When she talks about some of her interactions with these brothers, she always talks about how she was on drugs. That's a white supremacist tactic. A lot of white women do that in order to get their white card back intact. If they get pointed out for doing something with a black person that was kind of nefarious, all they have to say is that I was drugged or I was on drugs. Kim has done that on multiple occasions, and I think that's a real slick thing to do. I feel a certain way about that, and I'm glad her ex-dude called that out. I want y'all to look at this. Listen to this real quickly. I want y'all to listen to this. This is a clip from her guy, her ex-husband. She was married to this brother who was a producer. He produced a lot of Tupac stuff. He produced a lot of stuff. He was a very thorough producer. And I want y'all to listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on 1 second. Let me turn. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. 1 second. Hold on. Let me turn the volume up. Hold on.
Both with them or not to make it around. I didn't know what ecstasy was. That's her. I don't know. You know, that's, she can claim all that. I'm not claiming that. So I think it's irresponsible for her to kind of mention that in a joking way, because the media, when you're one of the biggest stars in the world, they pick that up and they attach that to the black man. Oh, the black man got her to do that. I didn't know what that was. That's a young white kid drug back in 99. Black people didn't know what that was. So let's be clear. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I think it's, like I said to you earlier, it's irresponsible to make a marriage that you married somebody, regardless if you eloped with them or not, to make it around. I didn't know what ecstasy was. That's her. I don't know.
I got married on ecstasy.
Oh. I had no idea.
No, the first time. I did ecstasy once, and I got married. I did it again. I made a sex tape, like everything back. I got married on ecstasy.
Oh. I had no idea.
Okay. 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 Okay, fair use, by the way. Fair use, family, fair use. But yeah, did y'all heard that, right? So Kim's done that several times, and I feel a certain way about that. That's that old Othello thing. White women do that all the time. That's that whole lie with Bill Cosby. All of them were on drugs. Bill drugged them. That's an old lie, man. I even talk about that in my book, Foundational Black American Race Baiter. I talk about the drug lie that white women use. That's an old lie that they've been using for centuries, going back to Othello. In the Shakespeare play Othello, there was a thing in the Othello, who was a black Moor, had the Italian woman Desdemona, and they were saying that she was with Othello, the black Moor, because he must have drugged her. That's that whole thing. Even with OJ, they were making it seem like OJ got the white woman strung out and all of that. They loved putting that the black man must have drugged the white woman and all of that. No, give me a break. And I'm glad my brother Damon cleared that up. Like, no, I don't do none of that stuff. That's them. No. Don't put that on me. Yeah, they're real good at doing that. They're claiming that they were with black. Oh, yeah, I was with a bunch of black people, but I was high. I was drugged out. I was drugged against my will. No. You see? We got to watch that type of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and not let folks push that. We don't have no allies. Again, just because somebody laying up with you, that doesn't mean they won't get out that bed and practice the same janky type of anti-black white supremacist tactics. Don't get it twisted, because they will do it. But we got to understand, family, there's a lot of folks out here who are just not built like us. They're not really trying to fight white supremacy. They're not trying to go after white supremacy. We're the ones trying to really get that stopped. We're the ones trying to stop that. And again, when a lot of folks come over here, they come around us and they bring a lot of their psychosis. They bring a lot of their tether problems, their tether issues that they try to infuse on us. We don't need to be around that type of stuff. We got to be focused, ladies and gentlemen. We as Foundational Black Americans, we have to get tangibles for us. We don't have time for no kumbaya with nobody. We don't have no time for no fake Pan-Africanism, no fake black and brownism, none of that fake kumbayaism. It's too many folks are already tainted from other places. We got to focus on us. People say, well, what about black people? No, we all one big black family. No, we can't do that right now. We don't have time to pick and choose which one of you are on the Jolof Kuhn train. Like this right here. Did y'all see this? I posted this up earlier. This is some woman, and she's in the UK. I don't even think she's over here, but she's in the UK. This is a non-FBA woman, probably from Nigeria somewhere. I think she's from Nigeria, but she's living in the UK. She said this: I literally saw a guy that looked like Jesus. I couldn't hold back. And I had to ask if anyone told him he looked like Jesus. He laughed and said a number of times, he is so fine. Family, and you see the $3 divestment wig, and the contact lenses, what are we going to do with, what are we going to build with that? Family, what are we going to build with that? What are we going to build with this? What in the world are we going to build with that? We can't build nothing with that. Let's just keep it a buck. We can't build nothing with that. These bed wenches and bootlicks, we can't do nothing with that. And these, they worship white zaddy too damn much. These non-FBA folks, if you look at TikTok, they worship white zaddy. They bring over a lot of their anti-black male sentiments because over where they're from, there's a lot of janky stuff going on with the dudes. Let's keep it a buck. A lot of janky stuff going on over there with the dudes. Here's the video. Let me show you. This is another video. I think this is in the UK too. And this woman put this video up as a flex. And I want y'all to see this right here. And you don't, I won't play the audio because you can't hear what's in it. But this is what she said. She was at the gym. A brother tried to put a mat under her feet. Right here. Now look at this. And a lot of people are clowning her. She thought this was a flex and a lot of people are clowning her. But she said right here, I was working out in the corner and a man randomly came and attempted to shove a mat underneath me because it'll be more comfortable. If he asked whether I wanted it, I wouldn't mind, but I think abruptly doing so and invading my space is weird, even if you're just being nice. So now she thought this was some kind of flex right here. She looks like a clown. See, and let me say this. A lot of these folks with that janky ass mentality like that, these are normally non-FBA folks. Notice a lot of these fake feminists who come over here. Usually a lot of them are non-FBA coming over here talking about brothers can't walk up and say hi to them and all of this stuff. These were the ugly chicks in class when they were kids. They had those janky little divestment wigs going to school. They were clowns. So they think now that they become an adult, this is their time to kind of get revenge on dudes based on their janky tether upbringing. This is a weird, crazy kind of flex. Most FBA women ain't like that. Now, let's be clear. This woman right here, if it was a white man trying to give her a mat, she'd be up here praising him and bowing down to him. But these are non-FBA people who got a lot of issues from their homeland. They have a lot of self-identity issues. They have a lot of inferiority complexes as far as the way they look, colorism issues that they bring over here, and then they have to kind of flex on folks. It's just real weird. Just a real weird dynamic. And I don't want foundational Black Americans to get put under this type of banner. Yeah, that's a female incel. Somebody hit it right. Most FBA women ain't like that. I give our sisters credit. They're not assholes just for the sake of being an asshole. If somebody's being nice, most sisters over here are courteous. Thank you, brother. Most sisters, they just keep it pushing like that. But this whole thing where somebody, oh, they're invading my, oh my God, you've aggrieved me. You're invading my space. Oh, it's so weird. I'm just so uncomfortable. Oh, stop. You know, these are people, again, these are people who were come from these forced female circumcision societies. So look, I get it, but hey, man, don't bring that over here. I get it. Some of y'all were forced to do a bunch of crazy stuff back in your homeland. But hey, don't put that on FBA sisters. I'll say that. Don't put that on FBA sisters. Even if a sister's not interested in somebody, at least we as foundational Black, we can talk to each other without there being some crazy stuff, which is good with us. We can strike up a conversation and it's a conversation. It ain't about to get creepy. It's a lot of these non-FBA folks. They ain't no game. A lot of the dudes are game goofy and the women got crooked wigs and they're insecure about their wigs. And it's just a big ball of insecurity and everybody's trying to get something from each. It's weird. Don't put that on us. You put me in a room full of FBA brothers and sisters, man, we can chop it up and we good. Foundational Black American men and women, we can just have regular conversations without there being some kind of weird subliminal threat going on. Good God, man, y'all keep that where y'all come from. But again, man, like I said, we're on our own. we are on our own, ladies and gentlemen. We got to do things on our own. We got to handle business on our own. And, you know, we already have, we got people among us that, you know, we've already put on the outs. We got people among us that we have to put on the, in the goofy corner. And we've already done that. That's why when we start getting stuff and getting things on code, we got to stay on code. It's I won't say difficult, but it's a task. It's taskful enough to deal with people within our ranks who are off code. We don't need to bring a whole new crop of non-FBA folks who are just as off code. We already got to deal with off code stuff going on among us. Speaking of off code, man, y'all girl Strappy, she had a strap attack. Strappy had a full out strap attack. Fair use, by the way. We got a brother in South Carolina, Brother Marcel. He's running for office out there. A lot of us are supporting our Brother Marcel. We put money on his books out there. He's running in South Carolina. We got to get some more people running in South Carolina, by the way. And a lot of us are supporting this brother. And somebody called Yvette's broadcast, and I'm going to play this, and this is fair use, by the way. Fair use, fair use. Somebody called and they started asking about Marcel and Borch. So Strappy went into a full strap attack, ladies and gentlemen. This woman is such a damn hater. Hold on. Listen to Strappy. Hold on. Boy, this is a pure hater, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Strappy. Is Strappy okay? Strappy's just having a, she had a full out strap attack. She's talking about people taking her talking points. Oh my God, Strappy. Nobody's taking your talking points. This Strappy is, she's struggling, guys. This woman is having, she's lost her mind. Strappy has lost her damn mind, ladies and gentlemen. Strappy has lost her mind. She's having a nervous breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. She's having a full-out nervous breakdown. Poor thing. Poor Strappy. I almost feel bad for Strappy. This is sad to see her go out like this. And that's such a hater thing. She ain't gonna support somebody because they didn't support her. Everybody's stealing her talking points. Family, nobody got it. Literally nobody got any talking point from her. Nobody got any talking point from Yvette Carnell. Literally nobody. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Literally nobody. Family, we've been talking about reparations over here. Man, you can, I've been documented talking about this stuff for a damn decade. You can go back to see tweets from 2014, 2016. Well, I'm talking about reparations. I'm talking about tangibles. Ladies and gentlemen, going all the way back. Family, you can go look at my Twitter feed and see that we've been talking about this. I'll show y'all some of my Twitter feeds. Let me show y'all some of my Twitter feeds. Family, let me show y'all something. Family, we've been talking about, this is what, 2016. Black people need land allocation. We need specific businesses starting, business starting resources. Black people need tangible resources. This is 2016. Let me go here. 2014. Should black people get reparations for slavery? Family, I does this. I've been talking about this. We've been talking about this. It's not just one person. We've been talking about reparations, tangibles. I've been on the same wave for over a decade. All my receipts are there. Nobody got nothing from Strappy. Nobody. And even Ados, she stole from Norris Sheldon. She stole that. And that didn't blow up. The hashtag didn't blow up until I blew it up. And that's the thing that really traps her ass. That's the thing that really chaps her ass. The fact that I had to blow her up, or not even blow her up, just give her shine. And then I took it away because the hashtag Ados became associated with me. Every time they would write an article about it, they would mention me. That really chapped their ass. They would not only mention me, they would mention me first, and they would give me credit for making the hashtag a thing. Strappy had a hashtag moment, and she's been trying to milk the hashtag moment for the longest. She's been trying to milk that hashtag for the longest, ladies and gentlemen. And she don't want to really accept it's the end. There's nothing there no more, Strappy. There's nothing there, dear. Nobody got anything from you, ma'am. You are not the business. Nobody got anything from you. Nobody took your talking points. You had no talking points to take, ma'am. And basically, what little shine you got, it was because of Black Daddy, Black Daddy Tariq. And remember, when they did that article, when they did an article mentioning them, they were so damn excited about it. Hold on, I got to play this while I'm talking. I got to play the video game. I got to play the Tone Tits and Strappy video game. When they did the New York Times article, you know, they mentioned me all in the article, and that's the first time they got really any type of major publicity. And boy, they were about to come on themselves, especially Tone. He's running around. I'm a nominee producer. We coming. Look at this article. Look at the article. We coming. He's yelling, "We coming." They were so excited just to have their name mentioned in the nationwide press. Good Lord, I don't give a damn about that. They mention me every day. That's not a flex. I'm not excited about it. They mention me every day. Some days I hope they don't mention my ass. They mention me too much. But this is about, they thought this was going to be a big clout thing for them. They couldn't wait to sell us out. If we listened to Yvette's ass, we'd be voting down Democrat. We damn sure wouldn't get nothing. We'd be sitting up here supporting Byron Allen's nothing burger ass. Byron Allen ain't throwing nothing out but nothing burgers. They're telling us to support Byron Allen for what? We don't know. And they'll tell us to vote down Democrat. Come on, man. So we're not playing that game. If we listened to them, we'd be ass out. People see how crappy of a personality that Yvette has, and people just got repulsed by it, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. So now she's just she's having a nervous breakdown. Can y'all please hide her strap-ons? I don't want her to harm herself. I don't want her to bludgeon herself with her own strap-ons. So somebody please check on her and put the strap-ons in a high place where she can't reach them. Please. Poor thing. Lord, poor Strappy. And speaking of people we got to check on, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the Prince of Pan Pizza is at it again. Not at me. And I really don't want to go after the Prince of Pan Pizza. I really don't. Yeah, family, I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to go here, guys. And I'm not going to roast, but the Prince of Parmesan Cheese, he's making TikTok videos with his shirt off. Can y'all please check on this brother? He's out here. He's calling himself King Kong Delicious. He's out here thirst trapping. Family, what's going on with your guy, man? I'm not trying to get into no roasting. I'm not trying, but I'm for real. I'm concerned, man. I'm really concerned, family. Oh God, hold on. I want y'all to listen. Hold on. I'm getting concerned, family. I'm concerned. Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. It's not hurting me.
Sister,
hold on.
Have mercy, Sister Danielle. You must not have heard me. Sister Danielle wants to have a Garveyite baby with King Kong Delicious. Sister Danielle, and she fine too. Look at them eyes. Sister Danielle, listen, baby. We gotta build the nation first. If I give up all my testosterone, I won't have no energy to build the nation. I got to build first, okay? We must build before the back shots. We must handle the business before the back shots. It is consciousness over the cookies. It is politics over the punani. It is revolution over the romance. Sister Danielle wants to have a baby with King Kong Delicious. She fine too. Lord have mercy. Might have triplets. But Sister Danielle, stay focused, my sister. Understand, overstand, and understand that the building, the nation building, must come before the back shots. I said the nation building must come before the back shots. Brothers and sisters, we must stay focused.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, can y'all please check on him? Oh, God. Boy, the petty just keeps calling. I'm not going to roast. But the Prince of Pornography, y'all got to have him put a shirt on, man. Talk to him. Ladies, why y'all blowing this man's head up? He's sitting up here, his titties dangling. Y'all got to stop this. He has to be the Prince of Pastries. Put some pastries on your tits, at least. Y'all stop telling this man stuff. Y'all know he has a problem. Y'all stop enabling this type of nonsense, man. This is sad. It's building before Boochie Cat. Come on, man. This man about to show his Boochie Cat. And his Boochie Cat is as nappy as his beard. Come on, man. Calling himself King Kong Delicious. Lady, whoever y'all middle-aged elderly women pumping this man ego up like this, Gladys, y'all need to stop. It's some of y'all old women doing this to this dude. Gladys and Mildred, please stop telling him that he's sexy doing this. I blame some of y'all old women doing this. Gertrude, leave this man alone and stop enabling this behavior. All right? Please stop it. This is just sad. I just don't want this. My man, no, this is not Rick Ross. This is Dick Ross. He's Dick Ross. That's his porn name. He's Gerald Dessert. That's his porn name, Gerald Dessert. Y'all stop this, please. Don't let our brother go out like this. Please don't let him go out like this, ladies and gentlemen. I offer him prayer. I do. I offer him prayer. Anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Thank you guys thank you so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Thank everybody for tuning in. Again, man, the Amazon registry for the baby. You want to give baby gifts to our soon-to-be newborn coming in a few weeks, actually. You guys can go to the Amazon registry below. Go get your maroon flag shirts at officialfba.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Go to arutasussy.com to get your arutasussy shirts, ladies and gentlemen. And go to officialfba.com to get the book Foundation of Black American Race Baiter, ladies and gentlemen. All right, man, I'm going to check in with you guys a little later. Follow me on Twitter so y'all can join my Twitter spaces. I will holler at you this weekend. Peace.